On this Thursday night, we're going to throw it back to an all-time great college football game. Michigan-Ohio State from the Shoe in 2016. It was Harbaugh, it was Urban, and 60 minutes wasn't enough to decide it. It's tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. So we got to thinking, today is the last day of the month of April, and many people consider April to be the best sports month of the year. And normally, the images that we see are those of the start of the baseball season and the Masters and the Final Four. In this month, however, the games themselves were not played, but that doesn't mean that the images didn't exist and that in some ways they weren't even more important than they might usually be. Here's a look.
The greatest thing about sports in general, whether it's the fans or the players that are involved in sports, there's this huddle. There's this massive huddle that comes together from all walks of life, and there's this respect everyone has for each other. We're all voting for our team. We're pulling for our team today. And the players the same way. All different walks of life, they walk in the huddle and say, we need each other. We're a team. We can't be selfish. I think if we can live with those principles outside the huddle when we break the huddle, we'll be a lot better off.
Now those words from Herman Edwards live on our show during this past month. It's been a month unlike any other. It's been our privilege to be here to share the mornings with you. We hope that if we've done anything here, it's that we've been able to take your mind off of all the other things that are going on for 2 hours a day. And we're going to continue to do it. We'll get through all of this together. And right now we have a huge hour coming your way on a very busy sports day. It is time to get up and maybe get out with Aaron Rodgers. Did you hear what Brett Favre said about this? You will right now, and then we'll tell you what it really means. Plus, where does the new Tampa 2 fall on RC's power rankings of the top 5 teams in the NFL? He'll run them down in 15 minutes. And I like big dunks, and I cannot lie. We've got 10 of them coming that were downright disrespectful in this hour of Get Up, which starts right now. Get up and go. Lots of news. According to a memo obtained by our Seth Wickersham, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell voluntarily reduced his salary to $0, to nothing, weeks ago in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Elsewhere, the Baseball Hall of Fame has canceled the July 26th induction ceremony because of the pandemic. Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, and the rest of the class will now go in with the 2021 inductees next summer. Hockey. The NHL is hoping players can begin returning to some local team training facilities in late May as part of a Phase 2 transition period. However, no firm decisions or set timelines have been made. Meanwhile, in the UK, a growing number of Premier League players reportedly do not want to resume the season during the coronavirus crisis. The EPL is yet to announce any kind of protocol for players to return to training. And then back to the NFL, where the Bucs have exercised the fifth-year option on tight end O.J. Howard. We had all expected maybe they would move on from him after they signed Gronk, but Tom Brady now, it appears, will have both weapons to play with this season. And then to our top story this morning. A week ago, the Packers traded up to select quarterback Jordan Love in the first round. That continues to make waves. Yesterday, Packer legend Brett Favre was on the Rich Eisen show, said he thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to finish his career somewhere else.
And I think Aaron will finish somewhere else. That's my gut. I guarantee you this, and I don't know this for certain, but I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind, which if that's the case, then that means that there's a chip on his shoulder towards the organization that otherwise was not there. And so all he needs is a reason other than this reason to expedite that.
I don't need to remind you of the history there, and I don't need to remind Rob Domofsky either, our ESPN Packers reporter. So, Rob, Brett Favre says Aaron Rodgers will finish his career in a different uniform. Is he right?
Well, Greeny, when you peel away the layers of the onion of this story, it's got to make Packers fans want to cry. Because when you hear Favre say things like bridges have been burned, the wheels are turning, it's a disrespectful message to Rodgers, you can really only see one end, and that's similar to the way it ended with Favre. Now, when Rodgers signed that contract extension the summer of 2018, it contained $98 million in guaranteed money, but no guarantee with how things will end. We talked the other day, Mike, about the salary cap implications in this, and Rodgers has got to play for them for a minimum of 2 more years. And really, they need him for those 2 more years, if not longer, because that's their window to be competitive with him and to groom Jordan Love, because even Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst, who made this decision, said of the Love pick, there's a rawness to him right now. So it's going to be up to them to try to keep Rodgers happy winning now and develop Love for this eventual end that Brett Favre has predicted.
Super quickly here, Rob. Jordan Love said that he had spoken to Rodgers. Aaron has not said anything publicly that I'm aware of about this. What do we know about the way he is actually reacting here?
Well, I think, Greeny, that his silence really says it all. He's trying to process this whole thing right now. Normally, he would have spoken at the off-season program. Obviously, we don't have an off-season program in person. It's virtually. At this point, it's anything but certain what he thinks. But the fact that Favre said that he talked to Rodgers and then went on Rich Eisen's show and said what he said tells you that Favre isn't just spitballing here, that some of what he said comes from Rodgers, whether he's acting as his unofficial spokesman or not.
Isn't that the ultimate irony there when you consider the history? Rob, so well done. Thank you, my friend. Good to see you as always. Let me bring my football crew in again this morning. If you're just joining us, I have Lewis Riddick, I have Bobby Carpenter, I have Ryan Clark. And Lewis, I just want to start with this because Aaron Rodgers is the only quarterback in the last 30 years to be drafted in the first round and not start a game in his first three seasons. So much has changed in the way salary caps are working even since he was drafted 15 years ago. Can they sit Jordan Love for 3 years on his rookie deal? Does that work in the NFL anymore?
No, and it's not going to be what they do. Look, although Jordan Love needs some time to develop, they're not going to sit for 3 years. Look, I mean, it just doesn't work that way because they will try to take advantage of, and they will want to take advantage of the fact that he carries such a small cap number at that position relative to the rest of the roster, and then what they could do for the rest of the roster, provided that his development comes along the way they want it to come along. Because you don't want to cut off your nose despite your face. You don't want to put a quarterback in there who, quite honestly, doesn't give you any chance to win and force a situation that makes you look bad. But make no mistake about this. When the GM and the head coach show that kind of outward emotion about picking a player, okay, just from a body language standpoint, and the fact that they moved up to draft him, they moved up to draft him. He didn't fall to them. They went and got him. It's much different than the situation was than what the situation was like when Aaron came to Green Bay. It's more like what happened in Kansas City when Andy moved up to get Pat Mahomes. You think Alex Smith didn't know? Of course he knew what was coming down the pike. Of course he knew. And Aaron, as Brett Favre is alluding to, knows what's coming down the pike, although he knows he also has them the way, you know, in an advantageous situation from his standpoint as far as what he would do to them cap-wise if he were to leave that team anytime in the near future. Although I will say this, they could eat that $31 million cap charge in 2021 given how small Jordan Love's cap charge will be in that year if they get rid of him before his roster bonus comes due the third day of the new league year. They could do it if it became something that they just could not stomach anymore. But it just makes sense. In 2022, you would assume Aaron Rodgers is going to be somewhere else, and they better have Jordan Love ready to go.
I just flabbergasted what we're talking about. Bobby, we've not had you on this morning. And we're talking about them eating. Basically, we're talking about them paying Aaron Rodgers $31 million to not play for them, or some facsimile of that. Does that make any sense when you sit back as a football observer and look at it?
It doesn't really make any sense at all if you're going to have that much dead money. But the one thing I want people to think about here is, you know, Aaron Rodgers, people were viewing him and Alex Smith as number one overall picks. He ends up falling all the way down there. No one was potentially looking at Jordan Love as a top 10 pick. You know, he falls down. And so I look at this. Think about the quarterbacks who are drafted in the first round or even one or two overall that really didn't pan out and really didn't develop. We were talking about Jameis Winston earlier. He's with a new team. Marcus Mariota with a new team now. The Bears went up to get Mitch Trubisky a couple years ago. He's probably not going to be their starting quarterback. So everybody just assumes that Jordan Love over the next two or three years is going to develop and he's going to look like Aaron Rodgers and it'll be the smooth handoff. There's a good possibility that he might not be all that good. And then after 2 years, they're going to sit there and look at this and realize we can't put this guy on the field, especially not even after two seasons. If we have to eat $17 million in that third year, we can't afford to do that to our roster because Aaron might still be a better option at that point. And there is a large chunk of me that believes that as talented as Jordan Love is, his ceiling, I think, is really high, that he might never reach that. and he has a very low floor with how raw he can be, and that he might never be a guy that you feel comfortable putting on the field for 16 games and trying to win with.
All right, so Ryan Clark, let's look at this coming year. We're talking about a team that last year won a very good division, got a bye, made it to the NFC Championship game. They were 13-3. So we're talking about a championship caliber team. How do you expect all this stuff that's going on to impact them this coming year?
Well, I don't even necessarily think it's about the stuff that's going on. It's about the ways they didn't improve their football team. It's about not getting Aaron Rodgers' weapons on the outside. Yes, you got him some protection because you lost some guys, but you didn't get him what he needs to make this offense more explosive. And I think we need to remember when Matt LaFleur comes over from Tennessee, they were the 27th ranked offense in the entire league. And now he wants to take one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and make him less of an asset or less of a dangerous threat because they want to run the game through the run. And so to me, that just doesn't work for this team to ascend, to beat the San Franciscos, to beat the New Orleans Saints, to get even have an opportunity to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so I believe this team takes a step back from who they were last year. And when you take that step back, now you give Aaron Rodgers an opportunity to say, you know what, maybe if we had more weapons, maybe if we could score more points, maybe if this team valued me a little bit more and came to me first about how we were going to proceed in the future, we would be better. And so I think that this is going to hurt the Green Bay Packers, not only in the locker room, but also on the field, and we will see it in the results.
I'm old enough to remember when someone traded a second round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. Boy, how good would that look in Green Bay right now? Bobby, final thought.
I guess when you look at this, I mean, I think the only guy that's mad about this is Aaron Rodgers. Like, you don't think Davante Adams would have liked another receiver on the other side to take some heat off him? Like, that's what RC's saying is, I think not just Aaron's upset. There's a bunch of veteran guys on this team are thinking, we made it to the NFC Championship game. We're drafting a young quarterback now. We want to try to win this thing in the next 2 years. Why didn't we improve our roster more?
It's going to be really interesting to see how this thing develops. And again, we have not heard from Aaron Rodgers publicly yet. We're just getting this hour started. Very busy we'll be. Another quarterback in the conversation. Now that Tom Brady has added Gronk, where does that put the Bucs among the NFL's elite? Ryan Clark runs him down in his first rankings of the year coming up next. And then Scottie Pippen over Patrick Ewing. It was impressive, but was it the most disrespectful dunk ever? We'll count down the top 10. Coming up, Miss Allen, Get Up on ESPN.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers, always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Rob Gronkowski coming out of retirement, going to play with Tom Brady at Tampa Bay.
You know, when you put start years and years of accumulated reps together, it just gets better and better every year.
Fires down the middle. Touchdown, Gronkowski.
He's an unstoppable rebel force.
Gronk and Tom Brady made the Patriots into who they are.
Rob Gronkowski was only willing to come out of retirement to play in Tampa with Tom Brady.
Tampa Bay is all in.
So the Bucs this offseason became the most interesting team in the National Football League, but did they become the best? It is time for the first of this year's Ryan Clark Power Rankings, the rankings coming off of the draft here, the five best teams in the NFL right now. RC, go.
Well, with number five, I'm going to go to Tampa Bay. And I think people may have thought they should be number one, but we just don't know yet. Obviously, getting Tom Brady is huge. You have Godwin, you have Evans on the outside. Having someone like Rob Gronkowski at the tight end position, now knowing that O.J. Howard would be there, will give you that two tight end formation or that two tight end lineup personnel grouping that Tom Brady loves to play with. Bruce Arians as the head coach is going to give Tom Brady a lot of opportunity to run this team. You had Antoine Winfield Jr. on the defensive side of the ball. I believe that he is going to be a star. This team is much better than it was last year. And last year, they were pretty good. But they still won't beat my number four team, who is the New Orleans Saints. And the chemistry, the camaraderie, the family that they have in New Orleans with Drew Brees and Sean Payton and Taysom Hill. Obviously, Mike Thomas on the outside with Emmanuel Sanders now being a number two receiver who has number one talent and is viable will help this offense out so much. Plus, you get a healthy Alvin Kamara. This defense stepped up last year. Now you add Malcolm Jenkins to that. You have DJ Swearinger. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson can now move to a true safety position in the sub package. And DeMario Davis is a star. And at number three, it's the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson, not just a tiny star, not just a superstar, but a megastar at the quarterback position. Last year's MVP with J.K. Dobbins in the backfield now. Marquise Brown, an opportunity to get healthy and be the deep threat he was early on in the season. And that defense was outstanding down the stretch last year. You re-sign Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphreys, a Pro Bowl player, and an All-Pro. You also add Patrick Queen through the draft. So you understand, with the way that this game is moving, you have speed on a cornerback and a sideline to sideline middle linebacker like a guy like Patrick Queen, it only makes you better. And the San Francisco 49ers, they finished second last year and they start second for me. I don't know if John Lynch ever gets into the Hall of Fame as a player, but he is off to a Hall of Fame start as a general manager. You lose DeForest Buckner, you replace him with Javon Kinlaw, who I know a lot of people were high on in the draft this year. You lose Emmanuel Sanders, you add Brandon Ayuk, who is a player that fits what Kyle Shanahan wants to do. It shows that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are on the same plane and have the same vision for this team. Also, you look at what they have been able to do with getting Trent Williams, who to me is the most athletic offensive tackle that this game has seen, at least in my era and in this generation. He replaces Joe Staley, so now you have that protection and you have someone athletic enough to be out in the front of some of these sideline runs for this team. And at number one for me, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. I didn't really care if they didn't do anything. Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback. I'm going to say it again. Patrick Mahomes is their quarterback. And then you go and you add Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who is a perfect fit for this offense to go with Damian Williams in the backfield. And they just say, we don't care if you load up on defense. We don't care if you try to stop us, because we will outscore you no matter who you are. And that's even if you're as good as the San Francisco 49ers. This year is going to be exciting. This year is going to be fun. But when the Kansas City Chiefs walk into stadiums this year, they will walk in the best team. It just has to show on the scoreboard.
Outstanding. Bucks, Saints, Ravens, Niners, and Chiefs. That's the top five. We were going to talk about it, but while you were talking, RC, I got some breaking news, and so let's talk about it here. I think this is pretty significant. Adam Schefter is reporting the Cincinnati Bengals are releasing quarterback Andy Dalton. I'm giving you all the information I can find in my notes here. It will be almost $18 million coming off of the Bengals cap. And that's really all I have at this moment. Again, the Bengals will save themselves almost $18 million off the cap after drafting Joe Burrow number one overall in this draft and will release quarterback Andy Dalton, who has had a lot of very good years in Cincinnati. Louis Riddick is with us as well this morning. Let's talk about that. Andy Dalton becomes a free agent quarterback now in a market that has Cam Newton. What do you expect for Dalton out there now?
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, obviously, the conversation is going to immediately focus on the New England Patriots and whether or not, from a fit perspective, does he fit what possibly they would be looking for in terms of a veteran acquisition in the context of their offense. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. I don't have any intel on that, although I would only just say this right now. You know, look, two over the past 3 years, Andy has really struggled as far as completing above, even getting, you know, cracking the 60% completion percentage plateau, and his yards per attempt have been down too. So, you know, in the six yards per attempt range. Now, a lot of that doesn't, I mean, there are more things than just him that have to do with that. Obviously, pass protection, consistency of the weaponry on the perimeter, all that has to do with that. Now, but it will be interesting to see if New England does investigate this and kick the tires here, because from a profile standpoint, it would make sense from a veteran acquisition standpoint for them.
All right, we just got this off of Adam Schefter's Twitter feed, and I've got Shefty live with me on the phone here. Shefty, thank you this morning. What can you tell us? Andy Dalton, we just reported the news. What can you tell us?
Yeah. Listen, I think the Bengals want to go in an entirely different direction. They draft Joe Burrow number one. He's been studying the Bengals playbook. We told you last week that he was prepared to be their starter. And I think that this now tells you that Joe Burrow is square in line to become their starter. They have enough confidence in what he's picked up in the offense to become their starter. And they don't need to carry $17.7 million against their salary cap. So by releasing Andy Dalton, they clear out a lot of space, save a lot of money. And yes, you would have liked to have traded him. That would have been an ideal scenario. But clearly they never got the right offer. They never got a timely offer. And it didn't work out. Now, maybe they could have taken something before the draft. They decided not to do that. Maybe they thought something better would come along. Clearly it never did. And it worked out to where now, 1 week after the draft, they decide to release Andy Dalton. And so now we've got two separate situations. You have the Bengals setting sail with Joe Burrow, and you've got Andy Dalton on the free agent market joining the likes of Cam Newton, Joe Flacco, any other quarterback that's out there. And once again, as we've talked about throughout the entire offseason, the supply of quarterbacks exceeds the demand for quarterbacks. Most teams have filled their positions. When we look around the league, people still look at New England and wonder whether they would bring in another quarterback to compete with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. People look at Jacksonville, which has Josh Dobbs as its backup quarterback to Gardner Minshew at this point in time. You look at a team like the Dallas Cowboys right now, they still don't have a viable, proven, experienced backup for Dak Prescott, who hasn't signed his franchise tag. That's another interesting spot that just sits out there at this point in time. But short of those teams, you tell me a team that has an opening, and there aren't many of them.
Well, no, there isn't, but that's a good list to start with. Shefty, outstanding work, as always. Again, Adam Schefter with the report. The Bengals are releasing Andy Dalton. Do I still have Ryan Clark here? RC, let me just ask you, what is your take on Dalton like right now? We look at him, you look at Flacco, you look at Cam. If you're a team that needs a quarterback, how excited are you by this?
Yeah. Well, I think the thing about Andy Dalton is him having enough awareness to understand where he is in his career. You heard Lewis mention what's happened to him over the last 2 years. And so he needs to go to a place that's going to give him an opportunity to compete. And I think that Andy Dalton can be a very good and viable starting quarterback for one of these teams. Now, I do believe he's a bridge guy. I don't believe he's your quarterback for the years to go in the future. But right now, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, to me, you should be on the phone figuring out, can you get Andy Dalton, and what would be the cost? What would be the price to have him go in and compete with Gardner Minshew to be your starting quarterback? If the New England Patriots are set on Jared Stidham, I don't see Andy Dalton necessarily being that much of an upgrade, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are a team that should be very interested in Andy Dalton and what he wants to do going forward.
And I'm just looking here very quickly. He's 32. So Andy Dalton is 32 years old, for what that's worth. Again, he has been or being released by Cincinnati. Much more on that as we continue, and it's going to be a busy day here on ESPN. After we wrap up Get Up, it's time for First Take, and then that's followed by SportsCenter and NFL Live at 3, Rachel Nichols and The Jump, then SportsCenter at 5 with the PTI guys joining the show, and cap the day off with another SportsCenter with SVP at 11 Eastern after the game, Michigan-Ohio State from 2016. Okay, more on that as we go, and then more on this. For those old enough to remember this Michael Jordan dunk, it wasn't just the play, but the reaction that made it memorable. The top 10 most disrespectful dunks coming up next. Get Up on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, we have breaking news. Adam Schefter reporting just moments ago the Bengals are releasing quarterback Andy Dalton. Saves them a bunch of money against their salary cap. It really means two things. One, Joe Burrow will be their starting quarterback. And two, Dalton becomes a free agent, joining Cam Newton, Joe Flacco, and a few other quarterbacks on the market. We'll have more on this as we continue. Meanwhile, the NCAA announced yesterday that it supports a proposal to allow student-athletes to make money from their name, their image, and their likeness, though those changes won't likely take effect before 2021. This has been a hot-button issue for a very long time around college sports. And joining us now with some reaction is a longtime friend and a head basketball coach at Auburn. Bruce Pearl is with us here. Bruce, thank you very much for doing this. What was your reaction to this announcement yesterday?
Well, my reaction, Greeny, was this is another step in us doing everything we can to support our student athletes. There's a lot of details that are going to need to be worked out, but obviously this is an unprecedented step by the NCAA, and it's challenged to manage the system and maintain, you know, some form of amateurism.
It sounds to me, and I want to just confirm, that you like it, that generally speaking, you are in favor of this. If indeed I have that right, could you expand on that? Why do you like it?
Well, Green, I like it because I like parts of it, and here's why. Anything we can do to help the student-athlete, I'm in favor of. Now, one thing I don't think the NCAA has got nearly enough credit for was about 3 or 4 years ago, we instituted this thing called cost of attendance. The cost of attendance is more than tuition, room, book, boards, and fees. And, you know, it used to be the old laundry money. Our guys can't work in the off-season because they're training, they're going to school, they're doing all the different things, and so this sort of supplements that. That's been a tremendous thing for student athletes, men and women. I mean, for my guys, it's like putting an extra $6,000-$7,000 a year in the pocket above the cost of attendance. I thought that was a great step by the NCAA to try to share some of the revenue and do more for, you know, for the student athletes.
Yeah, people, when they oppose stuff like this, will always say, well, you're opening Pandora's box. Give me the one thing that will need to be watched out for now if this change becomes reality.
Well, Greeny, obviously, people are complaining about the fact that the NCAA has been late to the party. And yes, this whole idea of name, image, and likeness having them to be able to capitalize, it's going to be really difficult to monitor. We've got to make sure that boosters are involved. We've got to make sure that the university is not directly or indirectly involved. Coaches can't be involved. That's going to be really hard to monitor. And, of course, they're going to create these new guardrails and guidelines and so on and so forth. But look, it's not my job to make the rules. It's my job to understand them and try to play within them. And so we will adjust to whatever the concepts that are there. I just want to make this sure that people understand something. The system isn't broke. Intercollegiate athletics is unbelievable. It's phenomenal, but it's been a huge contribution to our society. It's what opportunities it's brought for women, the diversity it's put on college campuses. This system isn't broke. Can we find to make it a way to make it a little better so the student athletes can benefit from their positions? I'm all for finding a way.
Okay. Two other things I want to ask you about while I have you here, Bruce. We've seen several players make the decision to go to this new G League pathway program that they've instituted, including a kid from high school who may be the number one pick in the draft next year. And I've had people say to me, this G League change is going to have an enormous impact on college basketball. What impact do you think it will have?
It'll have some impact. But college basketball survived without some of the greatest pros of all time, you know, like Kevin Garnett or Moses Malone or even LeBron. We're going to survive. I'm not terribly against it, and here's why. You know what? It's a great country. And if you're looking at Jalen Green right there, and it came down to Memphis, Auburn, or $500,000 from the G League. I mean, it was a pretty good deal. If somebody doesn't want to go to college right now, if they want to be able to start their professional career, they can do it in golf, they can do it in tennis, they can do it in a lot of other sports. I'm okay with it. Some of the best players are going to go every year. That's fine. What I don't want to see happen, Greeny, is this. So many kids starting in middle school, Their parents are going into those middle school counselors going, look, my son's going to be in algebra as a freshman. He's taking real classes because he's going to qualify and be a qualifier to go to college and get a college scholarship. I still would like to understand for the vast, vast majority of kids, the best way to get to the pros is through the college. And if this thing gets too big, I worry about, you know, some kids at the end of the day sitting there going, I really didn't work on my academics. I'm not good enough to play pro. What am I going to do now? I'm happy that the league is there, but like everything, we're going to have to, you know, monitor it and see if it's the way to go. I still think college is the way to go. Zion Williamson from Duke, first pick with the New Orleans Pelicans. That's a lot more exciting than the first pick coming from the Maine Lobsters. I'm just saying.
No, it is. And Jalen made that point the other day very well. Very quickly, Laura Rutledge told us that in a conversation she had with you, you talked about just how incredibly important it is to have a college football season this year, even if it has to be played in the spring. Quickly, can you explain why it's so important in your mind that college football be played?
Greeny, it's part of our culture. The football programs fund all sports, period, the end. And so you have all these non-revenue producing sports that are so important and so vital. And these wonderful student athletes that are here in college and they're competing. I don't know where the money's going to come from if we don't have football. And so, yes, I think they'll do everything we can to try to have football season, whether it's delayed or whether it's with fewer people in attendance so we can practice our social distancing outside. We're learning more and more every day. We're going to find a way. We're going to have college football.
We hope so. Hey, Bruce, it is great to see you. Thank you very much for doing this. Stay safe, and we'll see you again soon.
It's great to get up with you this morning, Greeny. Thank you.
All right, take care. That's Bruce Pearl with us. Meanwhile, today is April 30th. Brings us back in history 29 years to one of the most famous dunks of Michael Jordan's career. Oh, as a Knicks fan, it's still tough to watch. Spinning baseline and throwing it down over Patrick Ewing in the Garden in a playoff series, the Bulls would wind up winning in a sweep. And as I bring Jalen Rose in this morning, Jalen, we have the top 10 most disrespectful dunks of all time to break down this morning. And Jalen, I'm going to let you do it. Here we go. At number 10, this is Dwayne Wade, and this is LeBron, and here we go.
Oh, no, Jason Terry. Get off the runway, Jet. Oh, my goodness. Man down.
Number 9, Vince Carter.
Insanity. Behind the back with the versatility and the power. Over Alonzo Mourning, Sergeant Vincent Lamont
Carter. Was there defensively. Carter's got it. Carter drives.
Hey. Oh. Big finish. Vince Carter with a brilliant dunk.
Number 8, Jalen, Blake Griffin on Pau Gasol.
Blake Griffin, hot flyer, especially early in his career, Greeny. Not just with one hand versus your crosstown rival. This is two hands. Pow! Who's that looking in my window? Pow! Shout to the Goody Mob.
Two different plays in the same game. Number 7, Michael Jordan. Here's the one we just saw.
Ooh, like a ballerina on the baseline. Debbie Allen will be proud of that. See the baseline coming, the double team coming from start, and then all of a sudden, Oakley, former teammate with the Steve Smith Hezzy, and then over the top of P.E. Crazy. Crazy P.E.
Number 6. This one's going to be Dwayne Wade over Varejao. Here we go.
Anderson Varejao hustles back on defense like you teach your big men to do. The problem is he did not protect the hoop, Greeny. You got to get from under the rim, big fella. You're not a leaper. Your hair is really long, but you're not blocking any shots with
number
it.
5. I don't know how this isn't number 1. I honestly don't. This is DeAndre Jordan over Brandon Knight. Let's hear it with the sound full. How is this not number 1?
Here comes Chris Paul. The lob. The jam! Oh, what a monster jam by DeAndre Jordan!
Jalen, how is that not number 1?
That's just an incivility for another human being.
All right, number 4 is Michael on Mutombo.
That's his classic triangle. Everybody knew when he threw it into the post to Luke Longley, he bet not shoot it or they gonna take him out of the game. This is more about nostalgia. You're finally dunking over Dikembe Mutombo.
Number 3, Shaq. Oh, Chris Dudley.
Oh my goodness. Crizelli got a big deal from the Knicks. Who hasn't? I'm in that list. And by the way, Crizelli is at home right now. Like, seriously, y'all gonna do this to me? And look, he threw the ball. LJ, like, you don't want those problems.
Number two.
I want those problems.
Sean Kemp, Jalen.
Ooh! From the cradle to the grave, representing the Bay Area. Oh my goodness. You can't stop the rain.
Number one.
When it starts to fall.
Jalen, number one is Scottie Pippen over Ewing.
Scott LaRock. He wasn't getting paid top dollar, but he was earning his bread right there. And Patrick Ewing, he sweat more than any human being of all time. Had two knee braces on. And those same New York Knicks have the nerve to disrespect Spike Lee. He was there from the beginning, Greeny. You see how people supposed to hold you down? He's been ride or die. That's why Scottie Pippen dunked on the entire organization.
There they are, the top 10 most disrespectful dunks. I still say DeAndre Jordan should be number one, but that's just me. Jalen's coming back. We have much more conversation with him in a moment. And again, we'll remind you, we have breaking news this morning. The Bengals are releasing Andy Dalton. Should Bill Belichick be on the phone with him right now? We'll talk about that as we continue. We get up with you every morning on ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
We're back on Get Up, and as we've discussed this morning, the NCAA announced yesterday it supports a proposal to allow student-athletes to make money from their name, their image, and their likeness, although that change likely won't take effect before 2021. And we put together a group to talk about it here this morning and excited to do it. There they are, Paul Feinbaum, Laura Rutledge, and Jalen is back with us here. And Laura, I want to start with you because I know that since this news broke yesterday, you have been talking to a lot of people, particularly around the SEC. What have you been hearing from coaches and others about this decision?
Yeah, coaches and administrators throughout college football say for the most part that this was the right thing to do. And I think we can all agree about that just from the standpoint of this is something that's already been going on. So why not just make it official? It seems like the NCAA has been a little bit behind. I know Paul has some opinions on that. But when you look at this, there are so many different spinoffs of it. And I think that's where everyone's a little worried about how they're going to regulate this. And I had one coach tell me, this puts so much pressure on compliance offices all of a sudden because they're going to have to report every single endorsement, no matter how small or how large. So let's say a player goes and gets a free sandwich from the local sandwich shop. That's going to have to be reported, at least as we stand right now. Or somebody goes and gets an endorsement deal for $150,000 at a car dealership. I mean, this is just so wide ranging, and you could see it getting very complicated from that standpoint. I heard earlier on the show where Jay Will was talking about the recruiting angle. I think that's really big. A lot of coaches are saying, wait a second, how do we prevent donors from going to somebody as a recruit and saying, look, I'll give you this amount of money to come to this school. And that's put in as something for a name and likeness. Maybe it's just even purchasing a jersey, something like that. So I think there are many spinoffs that get very complicated. And that's where everybody stands on this. But overwhelmingly, a positive reception to this, Greeny.
Paul Feinbaum, let's hear some of those opinions.
Well, I think the number one opinion is that cheating will be legal now in intercollegiate athletics. They weren't doing a very good job anyway, the NCAA. But now there will simply be no way to manage it. We are entering a phase of the wild, wild west, which doesn't really concern anyone because this is not amateur sports, even though the NCAA tries to hide behind it. But all these compliance officers are going to run out of steam and energy very quickly. And the most important aspect of it is that the NCAA Enforcement Division, which once was feared by many people, is a laughingstock, and they will just simply turn their head and let all this go on.
Jalen, you and I were live here yesterday as this story was developing. You've had a day to consider it, trying to read the look on your face. What do you think?
I want to quote the late, great Jerry Tarkanian, one of my favorite people and coaches of all time, and you guys appreciate this. He once said, the NCAA is so mad at Kentucky that they just put Cleveland State on 2 more years of probation. So what does that mean?
The athlete that signs to go to Kentucky, Alabama, Duke, they're going to be treated like professionals in those towns. The opposite is going to be for a smaller school like Cleveland State. Therefore, that creates a heavy recruiting advantage. Also, I'm a student athlete. I thought I wasn't allowed to have a job once I signed my letter of intent. So I can go now have a paid appearance. Who's going to broker this for me? I don't have a manager. I can't have an agent. I just went to a college town for the first time to live. Like, who's going to help me fiscally to pay my taxes or to understand how to manage this money? This is like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. I just don't see this happening. And Greeny, you and I have been talking about this for over 25 years.
Yeah.
And so many people take victory laps about all of these steps that are happening in the NCAA. And I continue to be the Debbie Downer and the buzzkill because I don't feel that level of enthusiasm about this just yet.
Laura, which of those things, which one particular potential issue here do you think is the biggest for the coaches and the people you're talking to?
I had one coach say, what am I going to do when one of my mid-level players, that's a guy that may have had a chance to be drafted, gets so distracted by trying to, as Jalen's talking about, broker his own deals that I can't get him focused on not only my football, but his own football and his own development in his career that could lead to far more money than $1,000 from, you know, the laundromat. I don't even know if people would do that, but you know what I mean? I think we're in a world where this could lead to so many distractions that a lot of these coaches are worried about it actually damaging the players. They want these players to have as much money as they can get and to have this success. But when you have no regulation for this, as both Jalen and Paul alluded to, I think it gets very complicated.
So Paul, what does it look like a year or two from now if these things are implemented?
I think what Jalen said is correct. The rich are going to get richer. And in relation to the NCAA, Greeny, the NCAA needs to be put out of business anyway. It's a sham organization. And I think the Power Five commissioners are slowly moving toward more autonomy. And this is the NCAA's last stand. They had to do it. They had a gun at their head. It was way too late. And hopefully, and let's be aspirational here, the NCAA won't exist in a couple of years, and players can do whatever they want. They're going to do it anyway. Coaches are going to continue to cheat. They don't care what the NCAA thinks about this. And I think we're all going to be better off.
To be clear, Paul, you're talking about the Power Five conferences breaking away entirely from the NCAA.
I think they are moving toward that. It's not easy to do because of the NCAA basketball tournament, but we are certainly moving in that direction. Mark Emmert once said that they would do this over his dead body. He's still alive at last check.
Laura, really quickly, do you see that as a real possibility in the foreseeable future?
I do think that people are talking about it. And here's the thing. I mean, we saw what happened even just in recent memory when the NCAA tournament was being canceled and the conference tournaments were all being canceled at the same time. There was a lack of communication, seemed like wasn't a unified communication, at least with all of that. And I think that was another sticking point in all of this for these Power Five commissioners, where they're going to say, wait a second, remember this? And they'll reference back to when all of that happened in March.
All right. We'll do. I could do this for an hour. Guys, thank you all. a pleasure to see all of you. And again, this is to me, a story that is going to continue to develop all the way over the rest of this year and probably beyond. Meanwhile, we have more to do here on Get Up. And then when we wrap up, it's time for First Take. Brett Favre hasn't played for the Packers in 13 years, but his comments on Aaron Rodgers yesterday have caused a stir. Stephen A. and Max talking about that and more. First Take follows us on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by the makers of non-drowsy children's Claritin. Live Claritin Clear. And by Disney Plus. All of your favorites all in one place. Sign up today. All right, if you're just joining us, breaking news just within the last half hour or so, Adam Schefter reporting that the Cincinnati Bengals are releasing quarterback Andy Dalton. Saves them almost $18 million against their salary cap, and really it has two points of significance. One is it means Joe Burrow, now the number one overall pick, figures to be the starting quarterback as soon as their season begins. The other is that Andy Dalton joins what is not a very robust free agent market right now at quarterback. Joe Flacco's out there, Cam Newton, and a few others. Lewis Riddick, who should be on the phone with Andy Dalton right now?
Yeah, the team that, you know, that you think about immediately, you know, besides New England, everybody's going to point to New England, although I personally don't think that's going to happen. But when you try to connect the dots and you try to look at relationships, you have to think about the Jacksonville Jaguars. Why Jay Gruden's the new offensive coordinator down there? What does that mean? Well, Jay Gruden was the offensive coordinator in Cincinnati in 2011 when Andy was drafted there. It's all about relationships, especially in this environment. That's where it makes sense. They need competition for Gardner Minshew. I like Josh Dobbs, but Andy Dalton is a guy who has started games. And if Jacksonville is interested in winning in the short term, then they should have someone down there to compete with Gardner Minshew.
Ryan Clark, let me go back to you on the Patriots there. Lewis just mentioned that that's an interesting one, but he doesn't expect it to happen. Do you think Belichick should be on the phone with Dalton right now?
You know what? I don't, especially if you believe what Mike Reese says and that they're excited about Jarrett Stidham. They believe that his accuracy, his ability to read defenses and get the ball out of his hands is what they want at the quarterback position. So, no, I don't believe that. He's probably a little bit more talented than Andy Dalton, even though he fell to the third round. This was a guy who was extremely highly rated. So I believe the Jacksonville Jaguars are the spot. That's what I said initially. And I believe they should be on the phone with Andy Dalton today. But for the New England Patriots, I believe they're going to stand pat until they see what they have if we get to training camp and then maybe make a move on a veteran from there.
And since this brought us back to Cam Newton, I've got 30 seconds here, Lewis. How do you expect this to turn out for him? When does he wind up signing somewhere?
Yeah, I think it's going to be later rather than sooner. But look, I continue to say this. Look, I think for Cam, it's going to be about what are his expectations? Is he really willing to take a backup role or a competing role at this point? Is he really willing to do that? Because that's really what it's going to come down to. But I think finding good fits is what matters for him. And I continue, the more I turn this in my head, although I don't know if financially it would make any sense at all for the Rams to do this kind of thing, Sean, look, I have so much respect for Sean McVay. And when you look at their offense and how they run it through the run game, think about Cam Newton out there in that offense. Think about the way they use Jared Goff and how Jared Goff is the most productive. It's just the more I think about it, the more excited it makes me. Maybe it's a little bit more fantasy football oriented in my own mind, but it makes a lot of sense from a structural standpoint.
Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Joe Flacco, and a few others. We'll see, some quarterback decisions still to be made. Lewis and Ryan, thank you both. Thank you for getting up with us, everybody. Again, thanks to the medical professionals and the first responders for all that you're doing. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now. Come on.